Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, March 28th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you doing today, Brian?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well then, how about if I say, I'm so glad you're not dead?
Wow, taking the dark already. All right, that works. Let's giddy up.
Yep, giddy up. John Bartolaro, I'm so glad you're not dead either.
Dead like me. Yes.
Oh, I loved that show.
Oh, that was so cool. And last but not least, here I am. Good morning.
It's great to have both of you guys here. It's also great that Bushel is our sponsor this week. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, we have some new iPhone news to talk about. There's a new report from KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chi Kao, who says that the next iPhone, meaning the iPhone 7, presumably coming this fall, is going to have a major redesign. So it's going to be glass front and back again. And when I say again, I'm referring to the iPhone 4 and 4S design. It's going to have a curved display, which would be totally new for the iPhone. And it's going to have a curved back, which would be reminiscent of the iPhone 3G and 3GS. And he says glass front, glass back. It'll have a metal band around the edge. And it's going to be available in a 4.7-inch size, which will be an LCD display. And instead of 5.7-inch for the iPhone 7 Plus, it'll be a 5.5-inch. So it'd be going from 5.5-inch to 5.8-inch. And that will be an AMOLED display, unless there's not enough parts availability, in which case we will still have a 5.5-inch LCD and then a 5.8-inch extra phone that will be AMOLED. And that's where he's going with this. Also, new biometric sensors and stuff.
Sounds pretty strained. Sounds like a real reach. I don't believe much of it. I don't believe most of it. I think, and as we were talking before the show, I was wondering, what's the benefit of a curved display? I can understand a curved display for a monitor and maybe a little bit for a TV, but for a small device you hold in your hand, is it to reduce reflections? Is it to make it seem cool and techy?
It's to put things into reach. Don't get me wrong, John. I'm with you. I'm not sure I'm with you for the same reasons, but I'm with you on this. Yeah. But that would be the idea behind the curved display.
I certainly don't see any reason to have a curved back. As Jeff mentioned in the article, you have to have a curved case, which creates manufacturing issues, and now you have the wobble factor, and it's going to slide off the desk on slanted surfaces instead of, you know, being a little grabby. Doesn't make any sense. None of it makes sense.
Well, did he mean curved back as in a curved back, or a curved back as in a 3GS curved back?
Well,
right, because that just, it was more of a rounded edges back, not a curved back.
The 3GS was a curvy back. He didn't really specify how curved the back would be. So it could be curved like a 3GS, where it has a flat-ish area in the center, and then the curved slope sides going out to the edges. Or it could be just like the whole back is bowed, but he didn't say. My guess is that Apple would do something where there's at least part of the back surface is flat enough so the phone doesn't wobble when you set it down.
Well, here's a thought. One of the reasons why the iPhone SE is less expensive is because it doesn't have the 3D touch, because this is one of the more expensive components. So imagine trying to take one of the most expensive components in an iPhone and now contort it into a curved display. Doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to have 3D 3D touch on this thing. But
the iPhone 7 will have to have it. Yes, it will.
No, they could. They could have a model. If they were going to do a curved display, they could do it without 3D touch. Is all I'm saying. But
imagine the flack they take. Apple 3D touch was a failure, so they're trying to substitute it with something sexy like a curved display. That'll go over like 3D television did.
Just like the SE doesn't. The regular iPhone 7 and/or 7 Plus could still have it, whereas the curved one doesn't, and no one expects it because it's curved. If they were going to do this, that's how they would do it. But I've got other reasons to quibble over this.
Okay.
The first one is that Apple doesn't tend to do particularly niche iPhones. Apple approaches its iPhone product line, and we've seen this really come into clarity with the SE, from the standpoint of offering a fairly broad price points and entry points for the market. And the curved display Android devices that have been out there we should not forget that it's the Android world that I hate to use the word pioneered the large screen smartphone concept.
You mean the phablets, Jeff?
Yes,
is that phablets. Correct term?
I believe that is absolutely the correct term.
I'm going to go let the air out of your tires, both of you.
Android world, Samsung in particular, obviously, but everyone else was quick to jump on to the same concept, pioneered this area. And the Android world has pioneered curved displays, and no one cares.
I think you're right.
So
to be different.
Apple doing something that is a super niche within a tiny niche within the Android world, Apple doing that same thing in this case, I'm not seeing that. I think it's too, you know, Apple, one of Apple's huge strengths is that its product line is so tight that it's able to make lots and lots and lots of each individual model that it sells. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that applying to a niche product like this. And I certainly don't see Apple doing a 7, a 7 Plus, and a 7
Plus
curved.
Yeah. I just thought of something else. Well, what about the optical effects? You know, people have complained in the past bitterly about some of the optical effects that Apple has introduced, like the 3D thing that everybody turns off, the perspective thing that gives you headaches. Parallax, yeah. So what about a curved screen where the edges are out of focus for people who are wearing certain kinds of prescription glasses?
I don't think the curve is going to be that dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if Apple were to do a curved iPhone, one could presume that it's going to work. And it will probably be the best curved smartphone out there. And I think that there is a case to be made for people who want that. I mean, that is a way to go larger and still keep a device usable.
Sure.
It's a way of doing that.
What's the engineering motivation for having a curved display?
Totally nailed it. It's reachability, meaning the ability to reach, not the feature that Apple created.
Oh, you mean when you hold it with one hand and you're trying to reach things with your thumb, it's a little, are you saying that it's easier to touch?
Right.
That everything is easier to access, be it with one hand or with two
hands. Jeff just pointed out that the curve wouldn't be enough to distort the optics. Then if it's that gentle, it wouldn't be that much helpful for touching.
But that is a reason to do it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I don't see an engineering, optical, usability, sexy issue, manufacturing difficulty, less cost, more advantage. I don't see any of those for a curved screen on an iPhone.
Regardless of what reasons any of us have come up with, I just don't think the curved display is coming. It just doesn't make sense.
There's no doubt that Apple is playing
of course
a curved screen. I mean, I would be flabbergasted if Apple hadn't ordered, but even ordered some in quantity to mess around with them. But I think it's way too much of a niche for a company like Apple. It doesn't, you know, it works for HTC, it works for Samsung, because, you know, they make a jillion products and hurl them at the wall and hope to, you know, some of them ooze down a little bit slower than the others.
Right.
But you know, the curved display devices that are out there just haven't been successful enough for Apple to want to emulate that. I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling it either. And I'm not feeling the glass back. I don't think Apple's going to go back to that.
Yeah, they could.
I mean, yes, of course they could. But I'm just...
Why not? I mean, Apple likes to mix that stuff up.
They do.
Heat dissipation is better for metal.
And if you drop your metal iPhone, it doesn't break as easily.
Yeah, but they seem to have there were some initial problems with that on the 4, but it seemed like the 4S had that taken care of. And, you know, Apple likes to mix stuff up. That could happen. I'm more willing to buy a return to the glass back than I am to a 5.8 curved version.
Well, the reason they might want to have part of the glass is so that they can get the radio signals through easier and get rid of that band. But sure. It might be hybrid. It might be part of it glass and it for the antenna area.
All kinds of reasons. They could want to go do it for aesthetic reasons too.
Yeah, but as you said, even though most people put cases on their phone, it seems like a risk for those people who don't have a case and then they drop it. It would be bad.
You know, something tells me we're going to be discussing this more over the coming months, because there will be more leaks and rumors and speculation happening.
But if there's more leaks and rumors about a curved device, that's going to be adding weight to it actually coming.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And I'd love to keep talking about this, but I want to make sure that we get to our second topic today. Also, I really want to talk about our sponsor, which is Bushel. And Bushel, if you're not familiar with the product, it's really awesome and you should know about it, especially if you have more than one Apple device that you need to keep track of, meaning, say, maybe you have a MacBook and an iPhone, or an iPhone and an iPad, or like in my case, where you have three iPads, an iPhone, an iPod Touch, and two Macs, also the other iOS devices that your family members are using. And Bushel makes it really easy for me to keep track of all of those devices for everyone, and make sure that the settings that are supposed to be on those devices really are there. So what they've created is this really easy to use, unintimidating mobile device management platform. You just do it all through a web browser, and you can keep track of all the devices that you need to keep track of. You don't need to be an IT pro, and you don't need to be a technology wizard, but you will appear as one to all the people that you're helping out. So like in my case, I have all of my devices that I'm keeping track of and making sure my settings are exactly what they should be. And then I'm keeping track of the devices that my parents have, so that when they have trouble, I can just push their settings back out to them, no problem. I can keep track of everyone's serial number in case something is lost or stolen. I can wipe a device remotely if I need to. And it's just easy to use. I mean, you can keep track of what apps are installed. I know what version of iOS is on everyone's device. I've been able to set it so my parents can't shut off the passcode for their iOS devices, and they can't change it to something like 0000. And it's great. I feel like I have all my devices really under control, and I'm not worrying about did I forget something? Do I have, say, an iPad that's fallen behind on updates? I've got it all under control. Now, what's great about this is that you can use this for free for up to three devices. So you can go and sign up at bushel.com/TDO. That's bushel.com/TDO. And then any device that you need to add beyond those first three is going to cost you $2 a month. So even if you have, say, five devices, okay, for $4 a month, you're able to keep all of these devices under control and managed in the way that totally makes sense for you, which is really awesome. So go check them out, bushel.com/TDO. And Bushel is working great for me. I'm so glad that I'm using the service. And I'd love for you guys to be able to manage your devices just as easily as I do. So go check it out, bushel.com/TDO. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Okay, the other thing that I want to hit today, Brian, you took a look at the whole Apple versus FBI fight that's going on about encryption and unlocking devices. And on Friday, you looked at not the San Bernardino case, but the New York case.
Yes.
And so what's up with that?
So it is a different phone. It's a different operating system. It's a different case. It's a different agency. I think it's it's not the FBI. Who actually? I don't even know who wants
to. Is it the Department of Justice trying to get into that phone? Like, just generally, as opposed to the FBI?
It may. I can't believe I don't realize. Yes, it is the DOJ. All right. So it's the DOJ. And it's a drug dealer's phone. Excuse me, an alleged drug dealer's phone. Apple has refused to get into that one, even though it's a very different situation than Saeed Farouk's phone, mm-hmm. in that it's running, I think, iOS 7.
Wow.
The judge in that case, also a magistrate judge, is the judge who said that the government cannot use the All Writs Act, that it's just entirely overreaching, and that basically this way lies, the totalitarianism. He didn't put it that way, but really slammed the government for trying to use the All Writs Act to force Apple to open a device. This is the case that we've talked about in the past as being two different opinions on essentially the exact same kind of thing, mm-hmm. In two different courts. So what Apple did on, it turned out they did this on Thursdays, but it came to news on Friday. Apple filed with that judge a request to delay that case while the FBI tries this supposed new method it got for getting cracking into Saeed Farouk's phone. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning is, hey, look, if the FBI can get into this phone without us, well, then they don't need us like they said they needed us. And you're not going to need us here either. So, delay us and let us know what happens.
That seems like a reasonable motion for Apple to file.
Well, it does, but that's when it gets interesting.
Okay.
Because Apple also said, and by the way, if that method doesn't work on this phone that you've got here, this supposed the alleged drug dealer's phone, if that method doesn't work, let us try that method, because we're happy to take this method and see if our people can't go ahead and use it to get into this here drug dealer's phone. Because remember, this magistrate judge has no involvement with the other case, right? So all of this motion is all essentially all about this alleged drug dealer's phone, and the reason why I find that so interesting is because it's. Essentially asking a judge to give Apple the method that the FBI would be using to try to break into this phone, which the FBI may or may not want to do. As a matter of fact, I would hazard that the FBI would not want to do.
I bet you're right. And what an interesting angle for Apple to take, to say, well, if it doesn't work for the FBI, let us try the same thing.
We're happy. We're happy to try it for you. Just let us know what it is. We'll put it through its paces, and we'll do that for you. We'll do you a solid, bro.
Yeah, and of course, the nice side effect is that Apple would know exactly what they were trying and then could harden their devices and operating systems to better protect against that same attack.
Correct.
It also prevents the FBI from saying, well, we tried it, it didn't work, now you have to write the government OS. It also circumvents that.
Correct. It does. Now, there is a process called the Equities Review mm-hmm. that the Obama administration put into place that essentially creates a sort of a filter of administration people that look at vulnerabilities that come into the possession of, say, the FBI or the NSA, and decide whether or not those vulnerabilities are going to be reported to the companies that they affect.
And as it turns out, almost every single vulnerability that has gone through this process has been revealed to the companies.
Yeah, I think all but two out of 100 in the most recent 100, which would be over the last 2 or 3 years. Now, that's not to say, however, that the NSA actually has all of the actually discloses. What am I trying to say? It's not to say that every method that the NSA has goes through this reviews process. It's not to say that one way or another. It's not to say that they do, and it's not to say that they don't. But the ones that have gone through the process, almost all of them have been revealed to the companies so that they can fix them.
Right, which is something that, ironically, the Department of Justice has been pushing for over the past few years, to have more secure operating systems and devices.
Yeah, sort of, as long as they can have access to them, which is just idiotic. But Apple's request to the judge would sort of, if the judge granted it, would essentially back around the equities review process, kind of in the same way that the government's been trying to back around the lack of a legislative, a modern legislative approach towards encryption and security by trying to use the All Writs Act. So
that's very clever.
You know, this is a pretty aggressive move on Apple's part.
Well,
that's my take.
Apple has been pretty serious. Yeah, John, we're about out of time, but I'd love to hear your take.
I agree with Brian. I've read the article, and Brian makes some excellent points. You guys have covered it. I don't have too much to add to it, except that it seems like the FBI has run into the buzzsaw of a first-class legal team.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Well, I'm curious to see how that plays out. And especially, well, actually, it doesn't matter if the procedure works or doesn't. Because either way, Apple's going to want to get their hands on it so that they can study it and make sure that it's not something that can be used in future iPhones.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we do have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yep, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, it's always awesome. John, it's great to have you here, too, so thank you.
My pleasure.
And Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, bushel.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account. Start managing your devices so much easier. This has taken so many headaches out of my world. And any place that I can cut a headache out, I am glad to do so. So Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.